Reading to you from the 21st chapter of Luke and with the 34th verse. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that a day come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. And I've worn many hats, I'll tell you right now. I've been a pastor, full-time evangelist, radio preacher, TV, appear on TV many, many times. But you know what? The joy of serving the Lord is beyond, I can't explain it to you. Listen, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of ice to your cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 32nd Psalm, and let me begin reading with the third verse. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Father in heaven, this is a very difficult situation because every born-again Christian in this world has been guilty of sin. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to just bring us out in the open so everybody can see. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Lord, there's an answer. You've given us the answer what to do when we do things that are wrong or sin. In Jesus' name, amen. We've titled this, Why Feel Guilty? Now, David's description of his guilt feelings, he said he feels miserable and unhappy all day long. I want to ask you, can you identify with the guilty king? Well, I can. I sure can. Bet your life. Well, what is guilt? Guilt is a fact or condition of having committed an offense, especially willful violation of a legal or moral code, the Reader's Digest Encyclopedia Dictionary. This willful violation of moral integrity brings deep feelings of remorse. Why you feel guilty and what to do about it? Well, you may feel guilty because you are guilty. Now, David felt guilty because of his sin, verse 3 and 4. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groanings all day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever of heat of summer. Well, let's admit that we're guilty before God in Romans 10:25. There is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks God. There's no fear of God before their eyes, because by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Friends, listen, you know what I saw on the back of a car the other day? Atheist in great big letters. And right then there I prayed, Lord, this man don't believe that you exist. before this day is over, I pray, Lord, that he will be crying out to God to be merciful to him, a sinner. It makes me sick. But you know what? If you don't believe in God or you don't love God, just keep your mouth shut. But I'll tell you what, attacking God is a very dangerous, dangerous sin. And you know, our government, remember when our president recently said no more, we don't have prayer like we used to have a day of prayer in America for our country. He said, no, we don't have it. Well, because he's a Muslim, because he reads from the book of Quran. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the book Quran, but it's a hate religion. If you don't believe the way they believe, you are a heathen, and kill all the heathens and the Jews. Now, if that's a religion you want to belong to, well, good luck, because we don't believe in luck, you know. Well, let's admit that we're guilty before God, and we got to. We have to if we're going to be successful in this lifetime. When you sin, you confess it, you turn from it, and you go on. Because God said himself, he promises that he will forgive all sin if we confess and turn our back on it. You remember when Belshazzar, he'd been weighed and found wanting. He'd been drinking and carousing, and all of a sudden he realized something was wrong. And so Daniel had to go down there and tell him that he was weighed and found wanting. Boy, I tell you, I don't want to hear that. Do you want to hear that? Guilty feelings can have a positive effect. Now, there are warning signs of cancer. Women find it in their breasts. They find lumps and things like that. And there's warning signs. Now, when I had cancer, I hemorrhaged and hemorrhaged, thought I was going to bleed to death. And that was they knew that it was a cancer. Now, there are pains that warn of a serious problem, like if you have chest pains. Now, if you've never had a heart attack, well, I hope you never do. But I've had two of them, and I tell you right now, they're bad stuff. And you talk about pain, and you talk about not being able to breathe. No, I've been through those. You bet your life I have. Nay, they may come from an awakened conscience. They may result from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And friends, you know something? I want you to listen to me. When you do something wrong, something against the Word of God, or like he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and you break his commandments, God's Holy Spirit's there to nudge your heart and to let you know that you've done wrong. Now, he wants you, he'll tug at your heart for a while, and then the Bible said the Spirit of God will not always dwell with man, whereby man must be saved. That's why we say it's dangerous to put off trusting the Lord. I told you about this friend of ours that she made fun of God, and she was an alcoholic, and we witnessed to her many times, went to her home, and we had her in our home for dinner, her and her children. And one day she was rushed to the hospital, and I called this chaplain friend of mine who was a soul winner, and I asked him to go down and visit with her. He went down and witnessed to her and talked to her, and when it was time he had to leave, he said, would you mind if I would bow my head in prayer here for you? And she said, go ahead. And when he finished praying, she was dead. Friends, the Bible said, he that's off reproof, hardness his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. Now, I can't scare you into the kingdom of God. No way. You have to come in willingly as a little child. You have to confess that you're a sinner. Again, a lot of people, I am amazed at so many people who don't think they're sinners. My, my, my. Well, as an alcoholic, of course, I knew I was a sinner. There's no question about that. And I'm so glad that I knew that. But I didn't know how to get rid of my sin. You say, well, you said you talked to six preachers before you met Tom Barrett. That's correct. When I was thrown in a federal penitentiary up in Fairbanks, Alaska, 1954, I told the Lord if he'd get me out of prison, I'd go see a preacher. And God was faithful, and he did get me out of prison, and I went to see this preacher. And I told him I was an alcoholic. He wanted to know how old I was, and I said I was 30. Oh, he said, son, you can't be an alcoholic until you're at least 45, 50 years old. But he never told me about Jesus. Oh, he dropped the football. He could have led me to Christ that day. Well, thank God, guilt feelings, if they bring you to him. You may feel guilty because you have not been forgiven. Now, how David felt before confessing his sin and receiving forgiveness again, verse 3 and 4. When I kept silent about my sins, my body wasted away through my groanings all day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Boy, he suffered, didn't he? He felt as though God was against him. He felt as though he was in a spiritual desert. Listen, forgiveness was available to David, but he had not accepted it. Had not accepted it. Well, you see, the Lord's invitation for forgiveness of sin. Now, wash yourself, make yourself clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Seeks to do evil. Well, the Lord's payment for our sin I find in Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of all to fall on him. Boy. The Lord guarantees forgiveness in Hebrews 7:25. Hence also, he is able to save for how long? Forever. Those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for him. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Whew. Boy, how about that? He guarantees our forgiveness forever. He is able to save forever. Some people think salvation is a come-and-go situation. You have it today and lose it tomorrow. But my Bible doesn't read that way. Maybe yours does. I don't know. Well, heaven's celebration of forgiveness. Let's read the 51st chapter of Psalm, 51st Psalm. Oh, listen, this is great. Listen with me. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sins are ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part that will make me know wisdom. Purify me from hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Cleanse in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast away from thy presence, and do not take the Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, Did you? Let me read that 12th verse again. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Now, there are those who say, oh, my stars, you know what, Cecil, you can be saved tomorrow, today and lost tomorrow. That's not true. That's not a word of truth in that. Sure not. When he saves, he keeps. No man shall pluck thee out of my hand, according to the Bible. Well, read and identify with the guilty king's confession. Just read what he said. I just read it to you, and you heard what he said. David's confessions of his sin fit all of us. All sins confessed are forgiven. Thou forgave the iniquity of my sin. This will always be true. The Bible said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sin. Now, friends, let me ask you, why remain a prisoner of past sins? You know, one time, I think I told you this, but one time after I was saved, immediately God delivered me alcohol. I didn't have no more problems with alcohol. But I guess I was having some kind of withdrawals or something. But anyway, I went to this doctor, and he gave me a pill. My, I almost jumped off the roof. Seriously, I wanted to commit suicide. And the guy working for me, roofing for me, he saw that I was going to do something. He knew that something was wrong. So he come over and he grabbed me. He was a big guy, and he put me over his shoulder, and he carried me down the ladder and took me to the doctor's office. And the doctor kind of grinned. He said, uh-oh, I guess I gave you too big a shot or too big a pill. He said, I'll have to cut it back. I said, don't worry about cutting it back, because I'm going to take no more. That's it. I've had it. Don't want any more part of your pills. And then he said to me, Cecil, you told me not too long ago that you was an alcoholic and that you repented of your sins and you accepted Christ as Savior. Is that true? I said, that's correct. Well, he said, did God forgive you? I said, he sure did. He said, did he forgive every sin? I said, he forgave every sin. And even though said he'd throw it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. He said, but you know what you haven't done? I said, what? He said, you have not forgiven yourself. If that was the truth. Look, I knew the terrible things I did. I was an alcoholic. I didn't supply my children the food that they should have. And I was heavily in debt. I think I owed $1,000. Couldn't pay my rent, and I'd go out and get drunk. Couldn't make my car payment, I'd go out and get drunk. Which I'm so, it makes me sick when I say things like that. But it was true. And I didn't know what to do. My wife even knew that I was not a happy alcoholic. I'd sit, honest, I'd go in a bar and I'd sit down and I'd put a quarter in a Nickelodeon and start playing Your Cheating Heart and those crazy, stupid songs. In my happiness, your happiness, oh my. And I'd, tears would just stream down my eyes because I was so unhappy. You see, friends, I was raised in a Christian home. We live so far out in the country, we didn't have churches. My. So the only churches it was in town. And we always went to Pulpit Rock there in the Dalles for Easter Sunday service with all the churches and Christians in the Dalles. But we used to go to a Grange Hall. Once in a great blue moon, there'd be someone come there, teach a Sunday school class. Don't know what they taught, didn't care. My sister went to Sunday school every Sunday, and I would go with her, and I'd go in and I'd take my penny that I had for the offering and I'd buy a jawbreaker, and then I'd go down the creek and I'd fish while my sis was in Sunday school. Well, you say, why'd you do that? Well, it was real simple, because that church didn't preach Jesus. Of course, I didn't know it at that age. I didn't know that. But my mom used to read the Bible to me and Betty, oh, over and over and over. She'd tell us these wonderful Bible stories about little David and Goliath and Elijah and all Jeremiah and all those great men. So I had a smidgen of the Bible. And I do remember the time that she told me, if we pray believing, we shall receive. And then I told you about it. I found her on the floor unconscious. And I went out under the elm tree and I got down on my knees. I was 13 years old and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that God would spare her life. Well, she lived a while and then she went into a coma and then she died. And it made me doubt whether the Bible was true. See, the devil will use anything he can on you, even a little boy. And friends, listen, you know, Adam and Eve, they didn't believe God when he said, don't eat that fruit. They don't believe him. The devil said, he's lying. God's going to make you smart as he. And he don't want that to happen. So Eve, she bought into that junk. And then so did her husband. Friends, listen, if you doubt the word of God, you're headed for a lot of trouble. Now, there's some things we don't understand, of course. There's things in God's word in Revelation that it's just Greek to me. I don't understand it, but I accept it by faith. I don't understand a lot of things, but I accept it by faith. Listen, friends, you don't have to feel guilty anymore. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So sit down today, think about yourself, and then you say, well, 1 John 1:9, there was a true light which comes into the world, enlightens every man. So no one's in darkness. And you know, he said he'll set you free. When you decide that you want to know Jesus and you want to repent of your sins, he'll set you free. He'll set your foot on a solid rock. He'll put a song in your heart and a skip in your step and a smile on your face. Have you experienced peace today? Have you ever tried to witness for Jesus? Have you ever tried to win a soul to Christ? You know, friends, there's a guilty thing. There's something that Christians are guilty of. They go out and witness and they try to talk about their church, which is fine. It's all right. But that won't get them saved. They got to talk about Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that God sent into the world to die for our sins. That's who you need to put out. Jesus. Not the church. Give your testimony. That's the most powerful preaching you'll ever give in your lifetime. Look at Paul. Every place he went, he said, one day I was on that road, and a great light put me down on my knees, and I cried out, who is it, Lord? And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? Now, Saul really believed he was doing the right thing when he was a lost man. He was out crucifying, no, he was out beating up on Christians, putting them in jail. You remember when the, what's his name was stoned to death? Yeah, he held his coat. Now, Saul could never get that sight of Stephen out of his eyes. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine a man being stoned to death and cried out to forgive him? Didn't Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Do you forgive people when they do things to you, when they hurt you? You know, one of the worst hurts in the world is when a brother or sister in Christ hurts you. Oh, friends, that really is hard. It really hurts. Well, listen. You say, well, Cecil, let me tell you what. Here's my problem. I don't think I'm that bad that you're putting me. I'm not saying you're bad. I'm saying, have you confessed to the Lord you're a sinner? Have you turned your back on the way of life and invited him into your heart? Well, if you haven't, you're lost. You're doomed and you're damned and on the road to hell. But you can change that tonight. Change all that picture by coming to Jesus as a little child. And he's drawing your heart right now. He's tugging at your heart and you don't understand it. But listen, if you'd like to trust Jesus tonight and you absolutely don't understand it, you don't have to, but you can understand that you're a sinner. So here's how the prayer goes. Please don't pray it unless you mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. And I don't care where you go to church. Beloved, I want to see you in heaven. And you can't go to heaven unless you've been born again. So tonight, and if you don't understand and you'd like to talk to me, you can call me. And if you can't afford to call, call me. Collect, I'll pay for it. 303-471-8534. Dear friends, I am waiting for your call right now. Been evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Friends, listen, things could be tough and rough, and I know things are rough financially for every one of us, but you know, we can trust in Jesus that he'll never let you down. He'll never let us ever down. Now keep looking your eyes toward Jesus, because he is concerned. So you talk to him about your problems. You ask him for help. He'll give it to you. Well, friends, until it's time next Sunday night, please pray for me and my wife and our prison ministries, and pray that we'll get to come out the West Coast, if it's God's will, in October at least. And I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.